Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode in our podcast, Team Up It All Windsurfing Journeys. Today, we have a special guest. Daddy, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yes, my name is Daddy Chris.
His name is Christian, and he's our daddy and coach.
So, Daddy, how is it to be... how is it to be coach and a dad?
It's a difficult combination. You have to combine two different ways of relating to people. So it's been quite challenging for many years, but I think we are on a very good track now with some new knowledge and new approaches.
What is the tip number one you have to coaches out there?
I think the best tip, if you want to shorten everything down in one sentence, is to relax. Take it easy. Calm down.
Do you speak about like the athletes or... to the coaches.
I think actually for the athlete and for the coach and probably for everyone else.
Okay. But like we have been working with a lot of different stuff that you're about to try to see how it will work out. Could you maybe talk about a little bit of what we are doing? Like mentally and physically and everything?
Yes, we've been thinking through our sports and we'll be doing this work requirement analysis, and it becomes more obvious when you come on a high level that that sailing is really a cognitive sport. It means that I think when you do the amount of training that you do, you will have the physical strength, you will have the cardiac output, the VO2 max that you need to perform well. You will have enough time on the water. You will have a sufficient technique. You will have enough knowledge about tactics and metrology, but you will somehow be limited. And I think you will be mostly limited by your own mind. So that's where we put our efforts. We try to somehow... learn about ourselves so we can put ourselves in a situation where we perform our best. And then we really have to take care of how we're thinking about ourselves. So we're working a lot on that. And I think it's a really good track. It's a good track for US athletes and for US as young adults and probably for everyone. And it's something that you can find useful not only within the sport but in your adult life as well. So it makes it easier for me also to find the work we are doing meaningful and purposeful, not only to sail fast but to live and have good lives.
Sounds smart. I can relate a lot. When I'm doing a race, if my head is not in the right place, then it will go shit. But yeah. if I have my head in the right place and that like all my thoughts are focused on what I'm actually doing, I tend to perform better.
Yeah. But Daddy, how is it to be like, how did you like become a coach
for us? Yeah. I think we have somehow developed together. You started with the windsurfing and you needed somebody to learn you the basic skills. And then we took part in some different clubs and we learned some different strategies, what to do and certainly what not to do. And then I think we went through this together, spent a lot of energy, a lot of years learning about ourselves and about our processes. And as we matured, I think we finally found the good path, and that's when I really felt that I'm now a coach. I'm not a super engaged parent or instructor, but actually a true coach. And I don't think you see too many around in windsurfing. I think you see them around in endurance sports and in other Olympic sports, but windsurfing has sort of been lacking this kind of approach, I think. So it's good that we're finally doing what we know best.
Cool. Yeah, you've had a lot of projects with us. Can you tell us, like, which different projects you've had with us and what the purpose is and, yeah, the thought behind it?
Yeah, we've been working working a bit on finding our values. Why do we do a sport? What is how do we find it purposeful? So we've been having a meeting about that and trying to find figure out what motivates us and what are the things we should focus on to achieve our goals. So we have defined our vision goals and our purpose goals and trying to work on short-term goals. And then we're now working on race preparation. What are the different factors that are important to try to achieve this state of flow, which is probably one of our process goals during a race, and how we can actually be conscious about it and turn it on when it's required.
So in the last 2 weeks, we have actually been trying out a new project. So I have been trying to learn to sing and Tuva,
you do painting.
Yeah, yes. I learned painting, and I'm learning how to do the ukulele.
So it was you, Daddy, that come up with this project, and what is the point with this project?
Yeah, I think this project it's probably quite surprising for many windsurfers that we do this kind of thing. But the purpose behind it is for you to realize the value of the process. You were asked to figure out something that you want to learn. You really had to figure out how to learn it, and you were giving a certain date when you have to present what you had learned. So it's a way to force you into a position where you use your autonomy to figure out what to do and how to do it and how to achieve it. So it's really something that you own the whole process around. And you can't really come back and say, I'm not motivated, I didn't like this thing, why did you make me do this? Because this you have completely decided yourself. So it's the purpose of the task is to make you aware of how you're working in this process when you're really within your own autonomy, trying to achieve a goal. So I think it's a way that we try to make you to be more, to know yourself a little bit better. And we want you to learn about how your thoughts and how your emotions work together so we can put this into a windsurfing situation later on.
Interesting. And what do you think is the most like important factors that we need, like, or values that we need to have to become professional windsurfers?
I think autonomy is super important. It means that you have to decide yourself, be responsible about your training and your achievements, and I think it's really important with autonomy to find meaning. I think it's also important to develop some kind of athletic identity. You have to do what you do in your own way. And there are a lot of elements that are important. I think elements that relates to motivation, like belonging to someone or to some community, is really important. It's important to feel safe, to feel that you are in a place where it's possible to take a risk. And I think it's really important also to be happy, to don't worry about your ego or about being insufficient, but to feel some kind of joy. I think that puts you in a situation where you learn better and you perform better. So it's basically the same kind of skills and factors that are important throughout life for everyone. So that's why I find it more easy to combine this coaching job with being a trying to be a good parent.
Yeah, because we found it way harder when I was younger. What do you think were like the biggest mistakes that we made when you were my coach and I was an athlete and we were working together? Like, we had a lot of struggles. Like, what do you think is the we made?
I think we probably didn't trust our intuition enough about what works for us and is what we know something that's useful for the goals that we're trying to achieve, and then we probably try to copy someone else and do it as someone as others do it. And I think that now that we realize, or at least I feel, that windsurfing is it's a cognitive limited sport, we have to work in a very different way than the traditional Norwegian way when they work on endurance sport for cross-country skiing, at least what they do on junior level. I think that there is a lot of mentality around that as long as you train more or harder or spend more time on the ocean, you will be better. And that's up to a point. I think it's not wasted time for us that we've been through this kind of training, because now I'm very confident that you do train enough, you are enough on the water, you train hard enough. We don't have to really pay so much attention to these basic skills. so we can step it up again, and we can work on other processes that are more interesting, more motivating for us. It means you can't just sit home and you're a coach and then work with your mind and then you will sell great. But when you have everything else in place, I think your mind is what limits you, and it's where you should put more work into it to achieve better results if that's what you want.
Okay, but we're all girls, and I really wonder, how do you feel about be coaching girls with so many full of hormones, like
hormones, and
how do you handle that?
And when the other one is finished with the hormones that the other one started, and then
all the mood swings and the stuff, and you're a boy by yourself, so no. I really wonder how you do it.
Yeah, that's challenging, but it's also, I think it's also an advantage. It's probably easier to work with this kind of in this kind of way with girls than I think it is with teenage boys, who probably have a tendency to think they know everything, and they wouldn't be so willing to try out this new concept as you girls have been. I think there are three things that stops an athlete from performing well. It's the coach and the parents and the ego of the athlete. And I think probably this ego part is quite challenging for teenage boys in particular, but also for you girls. But I think we somehow managed to break the ice and work our way through it. And I think we have a fairly good communication now.
In what way do you think, like, that coaches and parents and egos are the reason why people don't perform well?
I think for parents, they lose track of why we're doing what we're doing. And the athletes, if the parent is too involved, the athlete will lose its autonomy, and there is really no internal motivation if the external motivation from parents gets too strong, and the same And the same can also be true for some coaches. And I think coaches also sometimes have a tendency to define athletes' goals for them, and that can make the athletes feel insufficient, and it's not a really good feeling if you're trying to develop yourself. For the athlete herself, I think the ego may come in a way or stand in a way for development, because if you always try to protect your ego to explain the world that what you're doing is right, you will be less receptive to learning and development. Can be more concerned about not feeling wounded or insufficient, and trying to try out new things and take a risk. Be willing to take the risk that you need to take to perform well. We did actually today create a model. Did you have a look at it?
Yes, I had a look at the model.
Yeah.
Which model?
This model. I saw the picture, but I didn't read the text.
Yeah, I was on the run, and I tried to sum up a little bit what we're doing. And we're really working with the brain, and we're trying to prevent the brain from coming in a position where it's insufficient. So we want to take as good care of the brain as we can. It means you have to drink, you have to eat, you have to sleep well, you have to make your preparations so you don't feel stressed, you have to look over your equipment, you have to know a little bit about the meteorology and about the notice of rays and so on. But you also have to work on your mental skills. You have to avoid negative thoughts, you have to have some kind of anxiety management skills. And we're trying actually, our main goal is to try to keep the brain in balance and to take actions that keeps it in balance. And then if it's somehow put out of balance, we'll try to frame that don't let it change our actions. So we'll try to maintain mastery. And then we're also very acceptant for that sometimes things do not go after plan. Then we try to repair them. We try to do actions that put our brains back in mastery, or solves the problem, and try to come back into prevent negative things from happening again. And it's an interesting model. I think I would like to explain it for you somehow. It's also the basis for we're trying to develop these pre-race plans, and the philosophy is that it's better to have a very good plan that we're not able to follow than to have a poor plan that we perform perfectly well. But this is not—it's not about you trying to reproduce everything that I say. I'm trying to make it as an education. So you choose something, and some things you throw away, and as long as you're in this process of personal development, then we are on a good track.
Could we end with you telling the athletes out there your best tip?
I think my best tip would be to refer the title of this great book that I recently read. That's probably the best tip I can give you, but I should give you the citation as well. It's a book in sports psychology given by Simon Marshall and Leslie Patterson. She is a top triathlon athlete. It's really worth listening to. It's called The Brave Athlete. But my best tip is like the second title of the book. It's Calm the Fuck Down and Rise to the Occasion.
Nice. Thank you so much for guesting our podcast. I think both we and our listeners learned a lot.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you for coming.
Okay. Thank you. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you.
That's good, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.